As the coronavirus spreads across the country, some of the hardest hit groups are healthcare workers on the front lines. Tonight we're speaking with Brent Russell. He is an ER doctor in Ketchum, Idaho, and he's just getting over COVID-19 after having been one of the first people to test positive in the state. Thank you for joining us, and I'm glad that you're feeling better.
Thanks for having me.
Can you tell us about the early stages of this disease? How did you know it was time to be tested?
So I initially had fatigue, but I assumed that I was just run down because I had worked night shifts. But in my vocation, being fatigued is not that uncommon because of the night shift. But then I developed fever and a cough and a runny nose. I knew it was time to be tested. So I got tested, and then right after that was when I kind of hit the dark days of my disease, where I got really sick for about 2 or 3 days, where I had high fevers and shaking chills, and I got short of breath in the middle of the night a few times, where it was, you know, it was pretty scary because I was laying in bed and I couldn't catch my breath.
Wow. Well, I'm glad to hear that you're getting better now, and we have a question about the recovery from Kristen in Pennsylvania.
What does recovery from COVID-19 look like, and are there lasting impacts on someone's health who has had it?
We've heard about reports of lasting lung damage. I mean, can you tell us what you've experienced personally and what you know about the path of recovery?
So, you know, it's too early to say what the long-term effects will be of this disease, but usually, whenever you get over a virus, when you're over it, it's done. There are some exceptions to that, like mono, which is the Epstein-Barr virus, is associated with chronic fatigue syndrome. So that lasts long after the virus has been, you know, beat back by your body. And in this situation, a lot of people who end up in the ICU with COVID have acute respiratory distress syndrome, which is an overwhelming inflammatory response of the lungs, and that usually causes permanent damage to the lungs. So, you know, people like that, they probably will have permanent damage.
Is your sense that you've likely come through this okay?
Yeah, I definitely didn't have that. You know, when I was short of breath, I may have had a little bit of fluid in my lungs, and it may have been, you know, the beginning of that process, but yeah, I would not expect to have lasting impacts.
I'm glad to hear that. I know you're not back on the job yet. I would like to ask you a question based on something a doctor friend of mine in New York told me, who said that if he contracts COVID-19 while treating people who have the disease, he'll be expected to return to work 72 hours after his last fever. And I was surprised to learn that even though that seems soon to me, that is actually the recommendation from the American Medical Association. Should that quick turnaround worry patients?
Well, I think that it's data-based, and you know, they're swabbing people's noses to see if they can grow virus after infections. So this is based on that type of data. And when they're saying you go back to work, they're not saying you go back to work and breathe on everybody. You're supposed to wear a mask for at least up to 14 days after illness onset. So,
yeah. What have you heard about how your hospital has been doing with COVID-19 patients since you've been away?
Well, we're at our area here has been very badly hit by COVID. And if it wasn't for the fact that the rest of the state has not been, we would be in a world of hurt. If it was, we were only able to keep our patients here and not transfer them to larger metropolitan areas, we would already be overwhelmed. We would already have too many patients for the amount of beds we have in the hospital.
Wow.
And so the saving grace has been that the rest of the state is lagging behind us and that we're part of a larger health system, St. Luke's, which has supported us because we are, you know, the focus for COVID in Idaho. But you could easily see a situation where if Boise and the rest of the state and starts having high percentages of COVID, we're no longer going to be able to transfer all our patients. We're going to have to keep them here. And if that happens, we're almost certainly going to be overwhelmed.
Right. Dr. Russell, we have a question about the interactions that frontline medical workers have with so many people over the course of the day. This is from Patricia in California.
I'm wondering, does the quantity of COVID virus exposure impact the severity of symptoms? And if so, what are the situations where someone is at risk of high load exposure? For example, if I'm with a group of 8 people and 4 have COVID-19 but don't realize it, am I at greater risk than if I get exposed to just a single person?
It's a good question, Dr. Russell. What can you tell us about that?
In general, the higher the exposure of the viral load, the sicker you're going to get, because your body cannot withstand beyond a certain amount. We breathe in 100 million viruses per day, and we don't get sick usually. And if you breathe in a little bit of COVID, your body's going to fight it off. But if you breathe in a lot of COVID, it's going to overwhelm your body's defenses, and it's also going to be able to then replicate inside your body and set up, you know, a bad situation. And so the people that get mild infections, likely, we don't know this, but we're likely exposed to much less virus than people with significant symptoms. And a lot of the physicians who have died have been people who were exposed to massive doses because they were intubating patients that had COVID before people knew that's what it was.
Right.
So they were exposed to massive doses.
Do you expect that having been exposed and been through it, you are now immune and that you'll be able to treat patients without getting a hit by the disease a second time?
More than likely. In general, with viruses, the only ones you catch again are either the ones that mutate or the ones that cause very mild infections, and therefore you don't have enough of an immune response where your body immediately shuts it down. Whereas now I have been through a very significant infection, the worst of my life. And so now I've got tons of immunity against it. So I think it would be very unlikely for someone with a significant case of COVID to get it again. Someone who's asymptomatic, though, it's a different story.
Right. Dr. Russell, let me end by asking you this question from Heather in South Carolina, who asks, what are the recommendations for healthcare workers' families with a husband on the front line as an inpatient physician? I expect he will be exposed at some point, and thus so will we all. What guidance do you have for Heather?
Well, at our hospital, we're coming in and we're taking off our street clothes, putting on scrubs, and then with every patient, we're wearing protective gear, disposable gowns and gloves. And so that, with that in place, the chance of us bringing it home to our families is low, but it's not zero.
And is there anything you would recommend that the family members do specifically?
The only thing you could really do is, stay 6 feet away, but that's a big ask of family members over a period of however long this is going to last. You can do that for a week or two, but it's untenable for a year.
Well,
and so,
Dr. Russell, I appreciate your advice, and I hope you have a speedy and thorough recovery. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me.
He's an ER doctor at St. Luke's Wood River Medical Center in Ketchum, Idaho. If you have questions we want to help, go to npr.org/national conversation. This is The National Conversation with All Things Considered from NPR News.